All right. It is, I think, 8 months still going on, and we are still giving away these booklets. There are 2 requests in my inbox this morning already that I haven't looked at yet, but we're still sending these out free to people who give us a mailing address to mail it to. Got a few more this week. Saw your video. Please send me a book. Where? So please, send me a snail mail address when you request your booklet. Does anybody remember number 20 in this series at all? Boy, did I ever stir up a hornet's nest. I definitely poked the bear of the internet. All I did was tell you that if you're really saved, if you're a member of the body of Christ, and you're reconciled to God, that there's no way in the world you can be born again. Whew! I sometimes go, let's go check the email, let's go see what's going on, and email opens up, and I almost feel like a breeze comes across my face. How dare you say that? I didn't just say it. We studied the scriptures. We went verse by verse, and we looked at who the born-again people were and who the born-again people had to be and what a new creature was compared to born-again. So I didn't just say something crazy and then say, good night, all. We studied it out. We used Corvettes and Bugattis, remember? That's how you know it was a sanctified message. And we got some compliments too. You know, we got some nice letters too. I know I read you guys some of the nice letters that came in. Well, we're picking up this week on page 22 in the booklet. We're running out of pages, so the guy who said he can't wait till J. Whitty number 128, I don't think we're going to make it that far. But in page 22, there it starts with a very, what would be a very startling comment to somebody who's never read the material or never studied it out, or somebody who hasn't maybe spent 20 lessons studying this material out with you. Just look at the top of that page. It says, the fact that Jesus wasn't talking to you in the red letters is actually very good news once you get over the shock. Amen. Walk into any church in this town and say, guess what, everybody? Did you know Jesus wasn't talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And that's great news! The deacons would escort you to the door. But that's startling to a lot of people. A lot of people have not been exposed to this material, which is why we exist. We exist to be the ones to expose people to these truths that have been in the Bible a long time. Jesus wasn't talking to you in the red letters is actually very good news once you get over the shock. Now, can you think of a reason off the top of your head why Jesus wasn't talking to you in the red letters is good news? Anybody think of... I don't do sign language. Oh, you don't have to pluck out your eye and you don't have to chop off your hand. That is good news. I like both of my hands attached to my arms. Anybody can think of any other reason why Jesus not talking to you in the red letters is a great news to you? Anything off the top of your head? Bingo! 613 points of law are not an issue to you anymore. He who knew no sin was made to be a curse for you, to redeem you from the curse of the law. That's a great one. How about in the red letters, thought there's an earthquake there. We need to reinforce the middle. You're a Gentile. All of you are filthy, rotten Gentiles. We all know that. What does Jesus have for you in the red letters? He wouldn't even listen to the woman until she took her place as a Gentile dog and said, yes, but don't the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table? You get more than crumbs now, don't you?
Amen.
You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're going to be to the praise of His glory, and you have an inheritance. That's a better deal. How about the woman that wrote, the confusion has gone away, the letter we read earlier. You can't follow both Christ's instructions in the red letters and Christ's instructions in the black letters. Because Christ was the one that gave both sets of instructions. Christ sent the 12 with the message of the kingdom to Israel. Christ sent the Apostle Paul to us. You can't follow both, so confusion goes away. How about remember in the red letters how Jesus spoke so many times about having to endure to the end? Enduring to the end, and it was a time of tribulation coming. Who wants to join that? Anybody want to sign up? The bus is leaving for the tribulation. Line forms here. Nobody wants that. We look forward to not tribulation. We are not appointed to wrath. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And there shall we ever be with Him when we go home. Because this earth is not our home. Anybody have anything else you could think of? How about you now have an explanation why no mountains move for you when you pray? I told you the story about me when I was a little kid, after getting guilt-tripped with the mountain-moving faith message in my church. And at the end of it, I knew I was not a very good Christian, so I wanted to test how small my faith was. So I said, I know I can't move a mountain, but I bet I could move the pew. Because, I mean, back then, big, heavy oak pews. So I prayed for the pew to move. It didn't move. And I kept getting to smaller and smaller objects until I prayed for the piece of paper on the table to move. And I couldn't move the piece of paper. So I knew what a terrible Christian I was from that. Thanks, preacher! Now I understand that what needs to move in this, the dispensation of God's grace, is not the mountains, it's me. I need to change. I need to move. I need to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. I need to be the one that's consistent regardless of the circumstances. So that's good news. How about, do you like being forgiven? Anybody want to trade that in? You want to trade in your forgiveness? Well, what did Jesus say in the red letters? If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses. If you forgive not men their trespasses, what do you get? No forgiveness. In the black letters, something about writing on this whiteboard. I lose the ability to spell. You're forgiven all trespasses. You have it. It's done. That's great news that Jesus wasn't talking to me in the red letters, because I am forgiven all my trespasses and I've got a pretty big pile.
Amen.
And so do all of you. What about when trouble comes? When you're stuck in the hospital? Why didn't my healing come? Why do I am stuck with these doctors and nurses that seem like I'm the 14th thing on their priority list? Is God mad at me? Because everybody over here got healed. What about me? Is God mad at me? No. No, God's not mad at you. What we learn in the black letters is for us, His grace is sufficient. Which means you need to be filled up with His grace before the day trouble comes. Because it's coming. Every one of us are headed for a hole in the ground. Or meeting the Lord in the air. I prefer the latter over the former, but hey, you know, you never know. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? When we went through all the instructions on the Sermon on the Mount? And we learned that if we, like Simon Cowell, are being honest, if I'm being honest, we are an utter failure in keeping those instructions on the Sermon on the Mount. Nobody, 0% of the people on planet Earth are following the Lord's instructions on the Sermon on the Mount. Oops. Well, we learned that our instructions in the black letters come from Christ to Paul, and those are the ones that we can keep. That's our doctrine. We can do that. We can't do that. So it's fantastic news that Jesus wasn't talking to me in Matthew 5 through 7. Because I can't do it, and neither can you. And if somebody you know says they can, lying liars who lie. That's what they are. They're lying to themselves and then lying to you, because they ain't doing it. The most important reason that Jay Witte is great news is because your soul is saved.
Hallelujah.
From information you find here. Christ told exactly zero people in the red letters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to trust my death, burial, and resurrection as full and complete payment for your sins, your object of faith, and I will seal you and take you to heavenly places for all eternity. He said that exactly zero times. Never does your gospel appear preached in these red letters. You see the events take place, but there's not one person that stands up and says, this is the gospel. So if you can find out that Jesus wasn't talking to you in the red letters, you can find the gospel of the grace of God. And your soul can be saved. Because the only gospel over here is the kingdom gospel. And that's been shut down for a long time by none other than the Godhead. So if you can get over this shock and realize Jay Witte is great news, you might get saved. You might actually put your faith in something outside your works. Did anybody here, I know we've all had different journeys to come to an understanding of grace, did anybody here ever get mad and go through and read very carefully all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to find the gospel and prove somebody wrong who was teaching you this stuff? I knew it would be you. I'm going to go through there and I'm going to find the gospel being preached and I'm going to rub that guy's dirty little nose in it. And you were shocked when it wasn't there, weren't you?
That's where I learned that two-handed
method. Yeah, right. But it's... I did it. I wasn't angry when I did it, but it was, I don't know about this. I did the same thing. I'm going to read all the way through here. I had a list of where I was going to write down the references, and there was nothing written. By the time I read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there were zero references. The person was right. We were shocked because we were only offered Coke or Pepsi our whole life. Calvinism, Arminianism. Ted, you call it blenderizing everything together. Nobody ever offered us Mountain Dew. Have you ever thought about looking at the Bible this way? Nobody ever offered that to us. Well, I've got some more Mountain Dew this week. What this was a summary of the booklet up until now. And I didn't have it all in there. But if you would please turn to John 15. John chapter 15. Here we are back in the Old Testament. I heard the chuckle. This is to the left of the cross, isn't it? I think I might have a permanent black marker on there. It's not coming up. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Anybody ever see this verse before? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is right on red letter doctrine. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who is Jesus speaking to? That's correct, Jews, but he's speaking to his friends. Is he not? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Has anyone in this room ever heard a message based on this verse? Has anyone in this room counted over 1,000 messages that you've heard based on this verse? Quite a bit. If you were in a normal church this morning, after I read this verse, what you would hear would be a 5 to 15 minute heart-wrenching story about someone giving their life for someone else. At the end of the story, half of you would be crying. The other half of you would feel like dirtbags. Because you know, honestly, I don't think I could give my life like that person gave their life. I don't think that's me. I think I would chicken out. So half of you would be crying. Half of you would be feeling bad. And that's the time to get you all to come down front. Isn't that how it goes? Well, you know that whatever it is, yeah, the two money drives in every church service. The first is right after the singing, when you're good and emotional. How about that money? The second is at the end, come down front. It's a membership drive, so next week there'll be more people there. So yeah, there you go. Well, whatever it is that you get here, you know it's not normal. So you're not going to be getting a 5 to 15 minute story that'll make you cry and half of you feel like dirtbags. Here's why. I care about your feelings. But I don't care so much about your feelings. I care more about whether or not you're thinking. Thinking is where you can learn right doctrine. Thinking about these, the two-handed Bible study method, comparing, contrasting, thinking, looking, you can do that without crying. And think about it. When you think about all the people in your Bible and all the history you've read in your Bible, the people who get it right. I mean, we have this whole Bible. We can see the people who get it right, the people who get it wrong. The people who get it right are getting it right based on information. They've been presented with doctrine. They've presented with facts or truth or a forewarning from God. And based on thinking and evaluating the information at hand, they make the right choice. Isn't that how it goes in the Bible? You don't see stories in the Bible, well, they were just crying and sobbing and falling down on the floor, and suddenly they did the right thing. Only in America. What do we have in America? Narcissistic, selfish, myopic American Christianity says that anything goes on anything as long as it feels good to you. Our Bible doesn't teach that. Our Bible teaches you need to be on Team God, whatever it is that Team God is doing. Otherwise, you're going to be run over by a freight train. Think. Well, let's think about this verse. This verse is used for thousands of emotionalized sermons, which, by the way, you can get done in a Saturday night. If you're a preacher, we call them Saturday night specials. You've had preacher's block all week. You can't think of something to say. So you go to a sermon book where you got your 3 points in a poem already done and the story. Saturday night special, get it together, you're ready for Sunday morning. But they literally have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emotional stories to tell about John 15:13. Let's do something crazy here and let's read verses that are around John 15:13 instead. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Gulp. How's the sinless, perfect Lord Jesus Christ, creator of heaven and earth, been doing on his interpersonal love so far, do you think? 100%, right? Perfect. Love each other as I have loved you. How are we going to do that, Lord? We're just sinful men. Well, what promise do they have coming? The promise of the Holy Ghost, which will cause them to walk in the statutes. There's our subject verse, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Look at the next verse. Who's my friends? Ye are my friends if. I thought Jesus loved me no matter what. Jesus tells people that his friends keep his commandments. What happens if you don't keep the commandments then? You're not a friend. Now we just read these verses here. Is any of you thinking right now, I just read the gospel. I just read trust the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as full and complete payment for sins. Did anybody read that in the verse? Good, I was going to slap you if anybody said yes. But this is taught in churches like the one I grew up in, as he was talking about the cross, and they all knew he was going to go to the cross, and they trusted that and looked forward to that. It's not there. Be my friends. Friends do what I tell them to do. I'm the Messiah King. I'm here. We're going to be walking into the kingdom. Do what I say, because I'm in charge. Whew. Now this, in this section in John, you know, this is a point in the account where Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And we can read in other places, Matthew 16, for example, they didn't even know the cross was coming. When Christ told them about it, they're like, no, I'm going to stop this from happening. Be it far from thee, Lord. Think of the logistics, though. The kingdom gospel is what's being preached. The king, the prophesied kingdom to Israel, elevated above all nations on earth. All the nations come through Israel to their blessing. The king is here. It's coming. What? What do you mean you're going to die? We're going into the kingdom. It didn't make sense to them. They didn't understand it. It was hid from them. They weren't looking forward to the cross. Look at back up to verse 10 here in the same chapter. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Does that sound like forgiven all trespasses to any of you? You're going to read forgiven all trespasses into that? Good. You keep them, you abide. Keep not, abide not. Pretty simple, isn't it? He's telling them to love each other, the greatest act of love that any man can ever give for another man. There's a reason they call it the ultimate sacrifice. Do you know why? Because when you're done giving the ultimate sacrifice, you're dead. You've got nothing literally left to give. You're dead. Greater love hath no man than this, than to die for one of them. And he teaches them here, obedience, maintain your right standing, obedience. And that works. That works with the logistics. The Messiah King needs to be followed. Even if it means you give up your life keeping his commandments, it'd be better to enter the kingdom than to be cast out, wouldn't it? Does that help understanding the logistics? Does that help the why? Because we can pile up the what and the what back and forth all day, and you'll know the different whats. What helps me is understanding the why. Why would Christ's message to these people be follow the law, keep the commandments, follow me to the death? And his message over in the black letters is grace, mercy, and peace freely. We'll get to the why over there. We hear stories of bravery and valor. People who do things that, you know, I'm in the dirtbag column. I hear stories of the bravery and the sacrifice that men have done for other men, and I look at it and go, I don't know if I would have done that. I don't know if I would have been the guy to jump on the grenade. Obviously, you never know for sure until you're in the situation. But I know me, and I don't know. So I end up in the dirtbag column. But here's the rub of why Jesus wasn't talking to you in the red letters is great news. When he was saying this, were we his friends? Well, how do you know that? He's all love. I'm just teasing you. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2. You got to hold out the 2 when you say it. You got to say love. Ephesians chapter 2. How did I get to understand the Bible like this? Well, people taught me. People showed me. But what really happened is this gentleman over here says, really read it. I never really read the red. When I really stopped to read the red, that can be read either, read, read, or read, our international audience will love the English language. Red and red mean two different things, unless it means read. But I never really read the red letters. When I really stopped and read it, it was mind blown. Understood. When I stopped listening to the chatter of the 3 points in a poem and I sat down and really looked at it, I saw so much there in the Bible. But in Ephesians chapter 2, if it's to his friends only, then I can trust that it's not to his enemies. What do we read Jesus promising his enemies in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Destruction. Fire. That's what he's got to his enemies. Hey, generation of vipers! Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember. Now he's talking to us now, you uncircumcised Gentile who's not keeping the law, and you don't know anything about a Messiah because you're completely apart from all that. You've rejected that. You're worshiping your pagan gods. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, what time is it? Red letters. At that time, were you good to go? Ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Does anybody see why it's fantastic news that Jesus wasn't talking to us in the red letters? Amen. Up a creek without a paddle. That's what you were. You had no hope because you'd rejected what God had dispensed before, but now God has dispensed something new. For whom? The ungodly. Wow, that's a good theological description there. Wow. This booklet states, the middle paragraph on page 22, quote, we heathen Gentiles most certainly would not have been numbered among his friends in the Gospels. When Christ was talking to his friends, which was Israel, we were his enemies. It's great news that Jesus wasn't talking to me in the red letters. This is where you ask yourself, the why then do I love the red letters so much? Familiarity. It's what you're used to. You're used to your 3 points in a poem. You've been told all your life this was Jesus talking to you, and you never really read it. You never studied it. But what you missed, let's put this here. Ephesians 2 tells us that enemies were hopeless. What you really missed, because the preacher chose to teach you or tell you a story that would make you cry instead of really study the Bible, is you missed that there's a greater love in your Bible than John 15:13. There is something far and away greater than greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There's something bigger and better, and you find out about it here. Wow. At that time, as we read in Ephesians 2, at that time here, it was yet and still a mystery. Nobody knew about the greater, 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 greater love. Now we know. Romans 5:6, "For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the commandment keeper friends who were all doing the right thing." When we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. I've got that badge on a shirt at home. The ungodly. And you all do too. You're all sinners. You are all aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. God has dispensed this grace for the ungodly. That's not what he said in the red letters. Do you see how this is great news? Oh, Matthew, you don't have to turn to this, but in the red letters, the ungodly get wrath. Matthew 13:41, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity." Enemies. And do they get a special dispensation of grace and forgiveness? What happens to them? "Shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Paul, the Apostle Paul, chief enemy of Christ when he was yet and still Saul, every single one of his books, enemies get grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Look at that sentence for a second. "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus." Enemies get mercy and peace. How are we all doing at that in our own lives as members of his body? That was him, though. It should be you, too.
Amen.
Enemies get grace, mercy, and peace. Look over at Romans. Oh boy, I don't think I'm going to make it through all my material today. Guess I'll have to come back next week. What's that? Okay. Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. Romans chapter 5.